Whoa.
I thought it's
a bye week. What? I thought it was a bye week.
It's
a
bye week
for you. And
I'd shut the engines down. Really?
I was going to get some video games going. We had the M&Ms.
Got some M&Ms going. These are personalized Chiefs M&Ms. And okay, I was shutting the engines down. I guess we're going to work a little bit longer here on this bye week edition of Chiefs Live and the 9-0 edition of Chiefs Live. Mitch Holtis with you, kind of just bringing it down a notch, along with the 15-year-long snapper Kendall Gammon. Chiefs didn't bring it down a notch winning in Buffalo, and to me, there were a thousand reasons not to win this game, and yet they pull it out. What about winning in Buffalo?
Well, you're right. You look at it, 1-10 in the last 11 meetings, so the history was not there. You know what? You've got the bye coming on. You know that you're playing Denver after the bye, yada, yada, yada. It goes on and on and on. But the fact is, when it comes down to it, Mitch, it gets to leadership. And the leadership that's with the Chiefs organization right now, Andy Reid, and what he's preaching in there and how they're going about their business in terms of basically every Sunday trying to go 1-0.
A trusted friend showed me after the game that home favorites in going into a bye are 9-21 in the last 30 such games. Buffalo played like they were going to, that was a hornet's nest. We all knew it was going to be that way. And for the third time in the first 9 weeks, Kendall, an opponent had first and goal at the one. The total of those three possessions for the opponent is 3 points. What about holding them again at first and goal at the one in Sean Smith's 100-yard return?
Well, yeah, and you talk about it, 3 points or it's -4, however you want to say that. It's crazy. It can't be overstated enough that when you make those type of goal line stands over and over again, and I think such a big key is the fact of how you stuff the run. And they stuff the run on the first two plays, and now all of a sudden they put everybody out there, and they figure the only way they've got a chance to get something in there is to score through the air. And, of course, we saw what happened there. There was a score through the air. It just wasn't for them. But, again, the defense and what they're doing, and, you know, it wasn't a great defensive day. I mean, they did some good things. They did some things I think they'd like to have back. They didn't get to the QB. They were around him a lot, but they didn't physically get to him. You know, one sack in the last 2 weeks. But, again, this team continues to find a way, and defense continues to find a way. And what I like is, do you have some big plays? Yeah, you do have some big plays. But the fact is, somebody gets them down, and you get a chance to line up and do it again. And several times at the goal line, when they've done that, now all of a sudden they're making big plays.
Offensively, there were some moments in the game. Alex Smith had an incredible play to avoid two sacks on a field goal drive. But you and I watched the tape on the way home from Buffalo. It looked like Eric Fisher made some strides. What did you see there?
Eric Fisher was really impressive. And let me tell you why in terms of Mario Williams that he was going against. This guy is a full-grown man at 6'6", 6'5", you know, 310 pounds. He can get it done, has 11 sacks on the season. Eric Fisher did not only not back down, but he got after him. He was physical with him. I felt like he bent his knees as well as he's bent the whole year in both the pass game and maybe the run game as well. I saw some attitude pushes, which I saw in college from him at Central Michigan. One of the reasons I just loved him was that temperament. And it's not surprising that you get halfway through the season, you're starting to feel your way around and starting to understand some things because, you know, just because you're the 1-1 pick doesn't automatically mean that everything's going to come easy. And it hasn't been easy. But what he's doing, and I think in general what the offensive line is doing, how they're gelling, you've talked to them about it. You've talked to Peterson about it. I mean, they're getting better each and every time. They're staying healthy, so now they're playing together. So now all of a sudden there's a little telepathy there where they know what each other's thinking. That is so very important in offensive line play.
We talk about the field flip, but this is another case where it happens in the fourth quarter. All right, the offense doesn't put up glitzy numbers, but when it came time with still a one-possession game at 20-13, they're able to shift the field just enough where they're able to get a field goal to go back up 23-13. How much are we overlooking this, and how rare is it in the National Football League to have it where you're always shifting the grid of the field to your favor?
Well, you and I certainly aren't overlooking it, and I can tell you right now the coaching staff is not overlooking it. Being in that locker room after the game and all those coaches coming by and high-fiving Dustin and Ryan and Thomas and understanding that they're just doing a great job in the kicking game, that is huge. But when you talk about it, the defense starting average at the 22-yard line, the offense, I think, the 34. So you've got that 12 yards difference roughly. Where if you just hold on to the ball punt it, and then let them, and you stop them and let them punt it, you're on average going to gain 12 yards. And that's what you alluded to, was we were deep a little bit. Dustin throws one up there. They pin him back inside the 10 or maybe at the 11. We stop him. Now they punt it. Now all of a sudden we've got good field position. We drive a little ways. And like you said, we're in field goal range and suck up perfect inside of 50 yards this year. That can't be understated as well. And then also with Dustin, I think he had four punts inside the 20-yard line. He had a 4-5 hang over and over again, and then he had a 45-yard net. That's huge.
Yeah, suck up we feature on our Hy-Vee Chiefs Insider Show this week. Check your local listings and see when that's on, because, man, with 34 touchbacks, he's been just lights out, top four in the league in that regard. Now, defensively, another situation, of course, Sean Smith had the big play, the 100-yard return. But what about Marcus Cooper in this game? And he's the one that hacks it out on the crossing pattern. Fumble recovery, Tom Bahali, 14 defensive points.
Marcus Cooper has an uncanny ability, I think, folks. And I think this is something you're born with to a degree, in terms of he's able to turn his head around and see the ball and understand when it's coming and not get into the receiver and get a PI, pass interference, called. And then he's also able to turn his body and contort or turn his head and not lose contact with the receiver in terms of being on his hip. As a defensive back, you know this. You try to stay on the hip of your receiver, and when he's going for the ball is when you turn to look for it. Because if you turn to look for it and you do make some contact, generally you may get some leeway. But if you don't turn your head, you're going to get the yellow flag thrown each and every time. He's doing a nice job. He's physical. Just the fact on that crossing route in the end zone, the receiver had the ball for a moment, but he did not give up, kept his hands in there and raked the ball away from him. I'm going to tell you right now, I guarantee you, Al Harris, Emmett Thomas, they've both coached him to do that. That you rake the ball, it's in there. You never give up, and he is doing a nice job.
And yet he has the instinct. Remember, he was a college wide receiver at Rutgers until the end of his career with the Scarlet Knights. He just got some instinct there that's somewhat uncanny. Now, the other number that pops out, we talked about it on the Chiefs Kingdom show earlier in the week with Andy Reid. Okay, the Chiefs are getting takeaways. They're number one in the NFL at plus 15 in the giveaway takeaway. But their 23 takeaways, Kendall, have yielded, 84 points. They get 17 takeaway points in the Buffalo game. And I compare that to other teams, it's blowing them away. Not only are they getting takeaways, but they're scoring it off it, either directly defensively or the offense is getting it. What about this team and its ability to take it away and score off of it?
Well, it becomes the snowball effect, and it just keeps getting bigger and bigger. And I think I'd have to check my stats for sure, but I think maybe through takeaways that they've scored more points than the Jaguars have total this year. So that's not a good thing for the Jaguars. Nice thing for us. But you know what? The fact is it's an attitude, and that's what they've created. Coach has created this attitude that you take the ball away, that you rake it when you can, you get people down. Got a lot of exotic coverages, blitzes, stunts, things of that nature. And as a defensive player, I think you just love that. And you not only love it, Mitch, but I think you thrive on it. And you just know that something's coming your way. And Coach Sutton has just done a fabulous job.
It's amazing, too, the Chiefs have not given it away. In fact, they've only had 10 giveaway points in 9 weeks. If you look at it before the scoreboard even gets flipped on, statistically, the Chiefs right now are at a plus 7 or 8 points before you even start the game in the way that they've done things. It has been a remarkable start. Now, let's talk about the bye week here a little bit, and the fact that, to me, these guys have pushed through injuries. They have stayed locked in since St. Joe. You played this game, but let's take this group, and you've got to know them well, what the bye week means to them.
Well, let's just take, for instance, Jamaal Charles. It means you let your body heal for a week, and you do very little. You probably get on the bike a little bit, get some of the lactic acid out. But in general, you just give your body a chance to heal. And that's what you've got it going on for a lot of guys, because there's a lot of guys nicked up. There's a difference between pain and injury. You play with pain, you don't play with injury. But I have a feeling that some of the guys probably are playing with some injuries, because that's just what you do as a football player. But to have this week, and the time it is, I think is huge also, because you're basically in the middle of the season. Mm-hmm. I remember when we would have early bye weeks, and maybe week four is the first time you could have one, you hated that because you get in this rhythm. But this is nice because you've been in a rhythm for a while. You can get away, you can relax, however you choose to do that, and then you can get back in it, and you know you're on the home stretch. So it's big from that standpoint, letting the bodies rest in whatever way you deem right. But maybe more importantly, and I think more importantly, is mentally. Because this game, you know it again, you talk to these guys each and every day, Mitch. the mental capacity and the mental alertness that they have to have day in, day out, week in, week out, shouldn't go unnoticed, because it is huge. And just to be able to relax and know, you know what, tomorrow I don't have anything. I mean, the NFL, you know it also. I mean, it's driven by time schedule and what you've got next and what you've got next and what you've got next. And for a matter of days, not to have that is pretty good. Now, they've got their other things, too, because you get to recharge a little bit in terms of you get to see your family a little bit. Now you get to take your kids to school, maybe, things of that nature. Maybe you go to Cabo. I don't know. You do something. And with that, you recharge the batteries and you get ready for a run, because that's what the Chiefs have ready to go, is a run, and it is going to be fun to watch.
Yeah, and those early bye weeks seem like a waste. You don't want the rest at the quarter mark of the mile race. You want it halfway, right. And the Chiefs basically have it at halfway. I'm going to ask you before we go to a break, final question with how Andy Reid has handled this bye. Rick Barnes, the Texas basketball coach, said maybe Andy's doing a good job with this because he's been through everything. It resonated with me. But Andy told me last week, he goes, I don't jack around with telling guys. And we've been around coaches now that go, if you work real hard, I'll give you Thursday or Friday off. Andy said, these are grown men. I don't handle it that way. He basically brought him in Monday. They meet, they get things ready, and said, get away from it. What about that approach by Andy Reid?
It's huge. And the big thing you said that resonates, because I've heard it from the guys, is he treats them like grown men, because that's what they are, and that's all they ask. And that doesn't mean that you let them run wild on things. It doesn't mean that you, what it does mean basically is that you tell them the truth, you let them know what's expected, and then they're expected to do it. And that's what's happening. I mean, you see it even more than I do. These guys are pulling for each other. Dwayne Bowe, would he like to have caught more balls in general this first half of the season? Yeah, but he's coming off the sideline after he's blocked for somebody to score a touchdown. He's fist pumping Andy Reid. To me, that says everything that's going on. Or when I see the defense out there congratulating the offense or vice versa, things like that, huge. When you hear interviews and they start talking about the special teams, an O or D player does, that means that everybody understands what's going on, that this is something special. And right now, I really believe you've got a faction in the locker room that's like, listen, this hasn't been this good in the past, and we're not going to let you screw it up. So they're policing themselves, quite honestly.
Again, this is our casual bi-week edition of Chiefs Live, brought to you by your Midwest Ford dealers, and a chance for everybody to exhale. We're doing that same thing. Now, that's our perspective internally of what's gone on the last 9 weeks. What about an external opinion? What does the outside world think? Well, Peter King is one of the top guys that covers the National Football League for Sports Illustrated with his Monday Morning Quarterback and MMQB.com. We're going to hear later from Peter King. What does he think of this 9-0 Chiefs start? Stay tuned. We'll have more on this edition of Chiefs Live.
Love the Chiefs? Join us. Stay connected and join the growing communities of the Chiefs Kingdom. There's so many ways. Twitter keeps you up to date on all things Chiefs.
They're not going to catch it. Back of the game. Derek Johnson on a linebacker blitz.
Facebook lets you respond and react to fellow fans. And Instagram takes you inside with some of the best images of the Kingdom. Stay connected to win some sweet prizes. Join in and be a part of your Chiefs 365.
Welcome back to this bi-week edition of our Midwest Ford Dealers Chiefs Live show. Earlier, I had the opportunity to talk with Sports Illustrated's Peter King. He also has his MMQB.com, his Monday Morning Quarterback, which is one of the most popular features of fans following the National Football League. But I was interested in his outside-in perspective of this 9-0 start of the Kansas City Chiefs and what he's seeing with the rest of the league. That's our own version of the Monday Morning Quarterback, I guess, here. Peter King of Sports Illustrated. It's great to have you
here. Thank you, Mitch.
Have to ask you, from afar, looking at seeing what you've seen here with a historic 8-0 start after a team was 2-14 the year before, what are you seeing from New Jersey when you see this?
Andy Reid. When he walked in the door, they believed in him because he had the pelts on the wall, 140 wins in 14 seasons. No Super Bowls, but a bunch of playoff wins, a bunch of division titles. Plus, I think a lot of guys just like Andy Reid. You know, they trusted Andy Reid. And so I think that's one thing. I think the second thing that's really important in this is that Andy Reid went back to being a coach, to being a teacher. He imports Alex Smith, who is by far the most important, single new guy other than Andy. And Alex has brought in this sort of workaholic, I'm going to, be the captain of this ship, not in an obnoxious way. I mean, I've known Alex Smith for a long time. Every team he's ever been on, people have loved. And I'm sure that people around here like him the same way. But he's the kind of quarterback who you want to follow because he's a likable guy. He's a worker bee. He just shuts up and does his job, And so the guys on this team sort of trust him. And then I think the third thing is, I think sometimes you have to rediscover your love of sports. And this team has rediscovered in so many ways that it really loves football. So many guys on this team who are sour over what happened last year and the year before, and, the team just wasn't good. And I think a lot of guys really look at this as, hey, this is now the game we played when we were kids. This is really fun again. So I think when you're having fun and playing in a system on both sides of the ball that you like, you're going to be a lot better.
I want to ask you about the AFC West. I always say May, June, and July are kind of dangerous months because this league, there's an insatiable appetite for it, and yet nothing's really going on. So all of a sudden things, you start to get opinions of the league before something really happens. And the thought was, Peter, the AFC West would be the worst division in the NFL. Now, in many ways, it looks like either record-wise...
might be the best.
What do you see there?
Yeah, I was thinking about this when you're... many times in the NFL and the times that I've been in football, everything seems to be tilted toward the East, the NFC East, the power division, all the national TV games, the power of the Patriots, the Patriots-Jets rivalry. But look at it now. First of all, the number one game that everybody in America wants to see right now, really, if you think about it, is Denver-Kansas City. I mean, right now you're talking about 15-2 teams combined 15-1, and they're going to play twice in a three-week span. That really is going to be cool. It's going to be the old AFC West, getting fired up about it. And here's the other thing about the AFC West. I thought the Raiders were going to be god-awful. And I look at the Raiders right now, and I look at Terrell Pryor, and I say, you better go to school on Terrell Pryor. He's in one week, out the next week. Sometimes he's good, sometimes he's awful. He makes enough plays, so you say, we better be concerned about this guy. The Raiders are not going to be bad for very long if he keeps playing like he shows flashes of playing. And, hey, look, Philip Rivers, he's only, this is only 10 years. I mean, if he plays, let's say, 15 years, which clearly he wants to, that's five more years of the Chargers being relevant. So, I think this division's going to be great. And then the NFC West, I mean, to me, Seattle and San Francisco might be the axis of power in the NFC for the next few years. I mean, they're like in an arms race. So, I mean, Western football really is where it's at right now.
Lamar would have loved this because all these old AFL, all we need is Al DeRogatis and Charlie Jones and Kurt Gowdy. overall, not to ask you to be Roger Goodell, but this league, again, just is unprecedented in its popularity. Mm-hmm. To give a global answer, what do you see of the NFL in 2013 and over the next couple of years?
I see a focus, maybe even more than we see now, on head trauma, head injuries. The league sort of, minimized the effect of the League of Denial documentary on PBS and the book of the same name. But I can just tell you, because I've done a lot of reporting on our website, themmqb.com, about the concern across the country. From 2011 to 2012, 6% fewer kids from 6 to 14 playing tackle football across the United States. That isn't going away. Parents are concerned for their kids. The NFL is going to be concerned, and you're going to see Brandon Merriweather, his way of playing football is not going to exist in this league. It just isn't. If he continues to play that way, every time it happens, he's going to get another suspension. So You know, Mitch, I think that is going to be a very important thing. And I think two other things. I think we are entering the dawn of a new age of quarterbacks. Because if you look at all the young guys right now, the Kaepernicks, the Russell Wilsons, you know, and obviously so many others, you know, and look at the ones coming up in college football now. Look at the exciting players, even at traditionally not, I mean, Braxton Miller at Ohio State, he's a really good prospect. At teams that don't traditionally play and have the ability to throw the ball around a lot. I just think, you know, everybody's saying, oh my God, the state of quarterbacking, there's not enough quarterbacks to go around. I think in the next few years, we're going to see a new, you know, kind of bedrock element of really good young quarterbacks and mobile quarterbacks. You know, when guys like Johnny Manziel, Marcus Mariota hit the NFL. So those are a couple of things I see.
So again, thank you to Peter King. He was here, and it's kind of interesting to get his feedback. But now, kind of the first part of the show, we looked at the first 9 weeks of the season. Unforgettable, historic 9 weeks. But that only gets you to 9-0. That's it. No prizes, no parades. You were part of a Super Bowl team. You've been here before. What about the next 7 weeks? I know what looms ahead next week. The next 7 weeks, how do you win in the cold weather months?
Well, you've got to lock in, certainly. You've got to run the ball effectively because you may have some bad weather going on, certainly. But I think you have to continue to evolve in the passing game. And when I say that, continue to get the ball spread around to different people. I think the fact that Dwayne Bowe, the last couple of games, getting more involved in the offense is huge. And a lot of that, really, we all know, has to do with how the defense is playing him. And I like the fact that if they do take him away, he understands that his role is to be taken away and you open somebody else up. He's not being a diva. He's being a complete and total team player, which I love. But in general, they have to stick to that. And when it comes down to it, turnovers, which is don't have them. That's what they're doing the first 9 games and create them on defense. And that's huge.
One offensive area I want to ask you about specifically to micro it down. This team in the first 4 games of the year was really good in red zone touchdown efficiency after being terrible in 11 and 12 at the bottom of the league. Now those numbers have slipped. They're starting to get down towards the lower half of the National Football League. How does this team offensively improve when they get to the scoring zone the next 7 weeks?
You know what? I think the tight end has to continue to become more involved with Anthony Fasano coming back the last couple weeks, getting involved a little bit. I think that will help. I think, again, like I talked about Dwayne Bowe, I think when he's at his best, it was within the 20 yards where if he breaks a tackle, he can physically get in there, run over people. He can go up in the end zone and catch balls. Things like that, I think, have to develop. But in general, again, you have to have the running game going, which is Jamal to a degree. But again, I count screens and I count swing passes as the running game. It's, to me, it's just a glorified handoff, one that I love. But get him in space, and I think that's huge also.
Defensively, it might be nitpicking the NFL's best defense, and they've just been magnificent to this point. But big plays, all right? If we went back and looked some big plays, Michael Vick, 61-yard run, LeSean McCoy, 40-yard run, the Philadelphia game. Buffalo last week, Spiller hits him with a long 61-yard run, a 59-yard pass, played a good one. How do you minimize the big plays in the next 7 weeks? Because you're playing some teams that like to get big plays.
Well, you're right. And I think a lot of those big plays, and in the NFL in general, they come on the cutback. It's a cutback league. And that's when you see when people over-pursue or maybe they try to do a little too much. That's what happened, I think, with Spiller a couple different times. Be technique sound. Mm-hmm. Understand what your job is. I think if they get to that, and again, we're splitting hairs because this is a pretty good defense. But that would be it. And then when the big plays, if they do happen, and a few will still, you can't eliminate it completely, but when they do, make sure you get them down so you have a chance to line up and do it again, because as the field becomes compressed, there's so much less room to work with, and I think that's when our defense really gets good. And then the other thing is get the pass rush started back up, get the sack train going, because that has been big the first half of the year. You would like to not have one sack in 2 games happen again. You need to be there. And even if you're not getting the QB down, at least be knocking him down, get some hits in there, get the pressure so the defense can come up with some turnovers.
I have been fascinated with the sports psychology of this first 9 weeks, the psychology of this team. It's unique. The psychology of this head coach, the psychology of this coaching staff. Now I want to ask you about the psychology of being 9-0. It would appear that it would be tons of pressure on this team. I sense this is a 9-0 team that doesn't have any pressure because externally, now we heard Peter King talk about it, nobody expects him to do anything in the next seven games. You're a birdie ahead of the team that's had par, but everybody expects to rush by you when you get onto the back nine of the golf game. What about the psychology of all this?
Mitch, I think when you hear the leaders talk on the team, like your Alex Smith, your Jamal Charles, your Derek Johnson, Eric Berry, they talk about the fact that last week is gone and it has no bearing on this week, and the next game has no bearing. It's basically the here and now, the present. That's what they're worried about. They're like, the only way we can go 1-0 this week is to kick the ball off, and next week will take care of itself, and last week's gone. You can't affect that. That, I think, is the general attitude, and that I'm pretty sure that starts with Coach Reed and how he's affecting people. And I'll say from my own standpoint, having been on the 9-0 team in 2003, I don't think we felt pressure. We knew some things were going on, but we were still just trying to go out there and get it done. Now, for us, I remember being a little bit frustrated and feeling some frustration on the field when we weren't taking advantage of opportunities in the game against Cincinnati. But in general, I just don't think this team is built that way. They encourage each other. They're slapping high fives, fist pumps, chest bumps, you name it, they're doing it. They're inventing things. They're having fun. And I'm going to tell you right now, that's a huge thing in the NFL. When you're having fun, when you're enjoying yourself at practice, in the games, when you're outside of the locker room, things of that nature, and you've got bigger groups of guys together, hanging together, you become close. They talk about it being a family, and people say, well, that's cliche. Well, it is, except that in this instance, it's not. This has become one big family.
We all know next week. We know what week it is. We know who the opponent is going to be. But for this week, the Chiefs can sit and watch the rest of the league as the only unbeaten team in the National Football League. He is Kendall Gammon. Enjoy your bye weekend. I shall find a nice comfy T-shirt, find some M&Ms, some mags, just hang out with some folks and enjoy the bye as fans of the undefeated 9-0 Kansas City Chiefs.